Welcome, friends, on this second Sunday after Pentecost. Today's gospel lesson is one where we hear from Jesus what it means to be a follower, a disciple. But more than that, today's gospel reminds us of who we are. Sheep who will sometimes find themselves in the midst of wolves. The view of God's people as sheep is a common illustration in the Bible, and I'm sure many of you have heard plenty of explanations about sheep. But as a reminder, sheep are not known for being smart, although there are current studies by animal scientists that state that sheep actually are smart. They are loyal, they are communal, not solitary, and just as Jesus said, they actually can recognize their shepherd and other sheep in their flock. Sheep tend to stick close together and follow whomever they have decided is trustworthy, which is fine if they have a trustworthy and caring shepherd, a trained sheepdog, or experienced older sheep in their midst. But it's problematic if they are trusting an abusive shepherd, an untrained dog, or a predator pretending to be a sheep. I also wanted to share a little about the biblical usage of the word wolf. Throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are multiple references to wolves, not literal wolves, but it's a simile used when referring to those who are purposely hostile and harmful. Sometimes wolf was used to describe individuals and institutions that pretended to be holy, yet were holy in looks alone and actually preyed on the truly holy. Sometimes wolf was used to describe people who were greedy and failed to care for any who were not in positions to build them up further. Sometimes wolves knew they were wolves, and sometimes they didn't. In Matthew chapter 7, which is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and just a few chapters before today's gospel lesson, we read, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit." This is a direct reminder that on the outside, wolves may not appear to be wolves. In fact, they may appear to be sheep. And they may even think of themselves as sheep. People like the Pharisees of Jesus' time, who were strictly observant of particular laws and for all outward appearances were very holy, yet their narrow understanding of holiness harmed and excluded others. The law was more important than relationships. Further, by using the law as defense, the harm that was perpetrated to those seen outside the law was considered of no account. And this behavior was not limited to the Pharisees, and it's not limited to 2,000 years ago. In last week's lessons, we heard the entire first creation story and were reminded that humans were created in God's image. Not some humans, but all humans. The shade of the color of our skin, our sexual orientation, be it gay, straight, or somewhere in between, our gender, be it cis, trans, or non-binary, the amount of money in our bank accounts, the places where we live, our citizenship status, and any other category that we can create does not alter the reality that we are all created in the image of God, and consequently are loved deeply by that Creator. Choosing a category and using that to degrade or dehumanize another person is one manner of bearing bad fruit. When we witness to the love of God and celebrate the humanity of another, we are bearing good fruit. And we are doing the work that Jesus has sent us forth to do. And hopefully through the Spirit, this behavior can change the hearts and behaviors of the wolves. But even if it doesn't, it is not ours to turn into a wolf to combat a wolf. It is ours to remain sheep. So when Jesus sends the disciples out into the mission field where they will encounter wolves, he reminds them that they need to be more than just common sheep. They also need to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. While it was extremely important to trust and know Jesus like a sheep trusts and knows its shepherd, the disciples also needed the shrewdness of a serpent for protection and discernment, and the harmlessness of a dove to be authentic bearers of the good news. And I dare say that through this lesson, Jesus is saying the same to us. Jesus is intentionally warning disciples of wolves while he spells out the job of being a follower because he knew what they would face. He knew that they would enter places where they would be prey to the wolves in positions of power and privilege because of their nomadic life or their lack of wealth and status, and more directly, because of their message that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom where creation is indeed very good, and the relationships with God and one another are found on deep love and respect, not dictated by money, position, or any myriad of ways that we define our earthly relationships. I find it intriguing that of all the stories of judgment and destruction in Scripture, Jesus chooses Sodom and Gomorrah when he is talking to his disciples. That said, Sodom and Gomorrah is commonly referenced in other parts of the Bible to reflect God's judgment. But I'd like to point out that this short statement comes at the end of Jesus explaining to his disciples that they are going to have to rely on the hospitality and kindness of strangers. While Lot certainly showed hospitality to the messengers in the story, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did not. But contrary to what some religious leaders and others assert, many Jewish and Christian scholars note that the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality. It was the community's disregard for and attended abuse of strangers in their midst. The sin of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah was that they were greedy and selfish. Those who could used others to satisfy their greed, be it monetary, sexual, or desire for status and power. I find it to be an incredible irony that people use the story of Sodom and Gomorrah to harm our sisters and brothers in the LGBTQ plus community. Those who use this story ostracize, verbally and physically abuse, shame, and dehumanize in ways in which they are acting as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did in terms of being inhospitable. Some people in their hearts believe that God's law, as they understand it, supports this view and their dismissive or even hateful treatment of our LGBTQ plus siblings. And I find that sad. But when I am in the midst of communities like those at First Lutheran, I am hopeful that there are sheep willing to move among wolves and proclaim God's love for all of humanity. I am encouraged when I see the photo of our banner as part of last year's Poughkeepsie Pride Parade stating, "All are welcome." As Pastor Deborah noted in her opening, at First Lutheran, we were planning to have our first Reconciling in Christ Sunday today. As a Reconciling in Christ congregation, we proudly and outwardly proclaim that we will welcome, accept, and love any who walk into our sanctuary, or right now, walk into our YouTube channel. We proudly and outwardly proclaim that their individual sexual orientation and gender identity is part of what makes them beloved child of God, an important part of our community. In doing this, I believe that we are doing exactly what Jesus sent the disciples to do. We are proclaiming the good news of God's unfailing love, and in some cases, healing deep wounds. But it is not only the LGBTQ plus community that is regularly dehumanized. We must also remember our brothers and sisters who are immigrants, refugees, prisoners, homeless, black, brown, and any other category that we can dream up. While it is human nature to classify and categorize so that we can understand our complex world, it is important to remember that the classifications we use are human constructs, not godly constructs, and they certainly do not encompass the entirety of any person. Much of the violence we have seen in recent weeks was triggered by the dehumanization of others, and not just person-to-person or recent dehumanization, but long-standing systemic injustice and harm. The good news that we are commanded to take forth is not compatible with dehumanizing others. It is a message of radical love and inclusivity for all of humanity. So let us not buy into the rhetoric that says it's okay to harm another verbally or physically if they fall into a certain category. Let us not buy into the rhetoric that using strength and power to crush others is desirable. Let us not buy into the rhetoric that having more is better. Let us not forget to check our own assumptions and biases as we walk through life so that we don't inadvertently or even purposely harm another. Instead, let us go forth and do our best to proclaim the good news that God's kingdom, God's radical and inclusive love, is near. There will be times when we fail to do this. There may be times when we act more like a wolf than a sheep. We are, after all, human. But let us do our best to live each day as a sheep. A sheep who is wise as serpent and as harmless as a dove. Amen.